You need to be working hard for your money, but is your money working hard for you? And that's challenging because we're only thinking about trading time for money. But in a certain aspect, that's why we got into real estate, because as I'm on this podcast recording with you and spending time with you, my assets are still working. Hello and welcome to the Happy Money Podcast. I'm joined today with my son, Michael, and we're going to be discussing, I think, a controversial topic, Michael?
I think so, yeah. Talking about, you want to introduce it?
Well, it's father-son battle. Before we started, he had his title and I wanted to change the title. And I think his title is more appropriate, to be honest. It's time is money. Mm-hmm. Well, you say, is time money or time is money? Was that a question mark?
It was a question mark kind of thing, yeah.
And what made you think of the topic?
It's interesting because I've heard that for years, people are saying, you know, another day, another dollar kind of thing. But it's interesting because I think I brought this up before. It's the concept of why do we work to begin with? Mm-hmm. And it's really to spend our time outside of work, right?
But Michael, what about if you love work?
Well, that's one of the 1% of people in the world, I would imagine, right? Well, now, right?
I love work. I might be one of those 1%. It takes time to get to that 1%. And I want to challenge a couple of your theories. The first one is everyone says time is your most important asset. Now, would you agree with that?
I would agree with that.
My buddy, Phil McKernan, big shout out to Phil McKernan. He's one of the best clarity coaches out there in the world. And, you know, in his Irish accent, I'm not going to curse, but he says, that's rubbish. You know why that's rubbish at certain times? Because if you're using your time not the way it was intended, or not going towards your passion, or not fulfilling yourself, or not using it wisely, it's not really an asset. It's more of a liability. You're wasting your time. Mm-hmm. And I sort of agree with that. I want you to think of this. I want you to dwell on this. And I want everyone who's listening to this dwell on this. Because this is how, for me, from a financial aspect, time and money. You need to be working hard for your money. But is your money working hard for you? And that's challenging because we're only thinking about trading time for money. But in a certain aspect, that's why we got into real estate, because as I'm on this podcast recording with you and spending time with you, my assets are still working. I'm working, but my assets are working just as hard as I am, even harder than me.
Yeah. Well, the other thing with that is in order to love your work, or I don't even want to say love, but to enjoy your work is also to be able to enjoy your time afterwards. Because kind of like we said, if you're not enjoying your life in general, after that kind of 9 to 5, you're not going to enjoy your work. Does that kind of make sense?
It does. And it's interesting that you say that as I'm reflecting upon the words that you're speaking, you're talking about right now. Michael, I had a tough time a couple of years ago. And it was, I really loved the Jake and Gina work. I really loved helping students. But when you're focused solely on the work and you're not doing anything fun on the outside. And that's when we started singing opera. To me, that was a lot of fun. And then over the last year, what do? We bought a farm. And that has just been an amazing thing for me. Whereas, wow, I've got this money. I can keep investing, keep making more money with it. But I found something that I really loved and I really yearned for. So if you're listening to this, I think it's important that find out what makes you happy. Find out some of your hobbies. You know, we go out and we shoot guns. Mm-hmm. We go out, we go fish. We go out, we go to the beach. We do certain things. I think we're so focused sometimes on just making the money and not using our time in a wise fashion, or using the time for things that we really like to do.
Yeah. And like you said, the money is for the time, right? Mm-hmm. That's the reason why we make money, so we can go out and enjoy the things that we do. And this was Kevin O'Leary. I really admire Kevin O'Leary because he said this. He goes, I don't hire entrepreneurs who don't have hobbies. People who are constantly in this 12 to 14 hour day grind set. He's like, if you don't have a hobby, if you're not an artist, if you're not a musician, painter, whatever it is, he's like, I'm not going to hire you.
Really?
Because there's this aspect of their brain. There's actually something psychological that goes on with the person. If they do something creative, they're more likely to be more successful in life.
I never thought of that, but that does make sense. You know why that makes sense to me? We're so taught in this society to grind. You need to grind and you always need to be at work. And your point to what Kevin O'Leary is saying is sometimes we need to take a step back. We need to relax, to detox. And for me, it's getting on the phone with Jake once a day or twice a day and just having those brainstorming sessions and to be able to say, hey, we need to take a step back and just relax. And it's interesting. You need to have hobbies. You need to have something that you like to break the monotony of work, because that's when you become creative. And like when you said, when you're creative, those ideas come to you that you never would have thought of. So if your main and singular focus is one thing, at certain times you need to do that. You need to get the work done.
Oh, of course.
You need to focus. But at certain other times you need to recharge, whether that's taking the day off, whether that's going for a walk on the beach, whether that's actually just, you know, going to singing lessons. Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock, that's where I am. I know I'm there every Tuesday at 6 o'clock. It's something challenging, something that I love to do. And I'm spending my time doing that because that's something that I, to me, it's like you said, it's a release. It does give me the ability.
It does
give me the ability, like you said, to be creative and to do something that I wasn't trained ever to do in my life.
Yeah. And like you said, it really helps you in the workforce because you've got that recharge now. And this is where I think we went wrong with the introduction of the 5 day 9 to 5, because you spend the whole week dreading for Monday. You're dead by Friday. Saturday is a recharge. Sunday, you dread Monday kind of thing. And so I've been reading a lot of studies about kind of the introduction of a 4 day work week, which I thought was interesting because I'm thinking, okay, that's one less day of working. How are they going to catch up on that time? And apparently within that kind of 4 day, they were able to get more work done, equivalent to a 5 day or even more, mm-hmm. because they had that extra time to recharge and more, they had less time actually to work. And that caused them to be more productive as well, which I thought was really weird, but it works.
That is interesting. The gentleman who we interviewed, I don't know if you remember, his name is MJ DeMarco.
We've interviewed him
twice. The Millionaire Fastlane.
Yeah.
If you have the ability to go check out MJ DeMarco, amazing content. But he makes fun of the 5 day construct. That's a human construct. Whoever decided Monday through Friday to decide to work. I want people, and I want you to get to the point in your life where you're like, oh, Monday, big deal. That everyone says Wednesday's the hump day.
I hate that.
What does that even mean, the hump day?
I hate that so much.
It doesn't mean anything. Like, and it's interesting because when I worked at the restaurant, I would work on the weekends and I'd be off during the week. Mm-hmm. And then when I started Jake and Gino, I was like, this is pretty cool. I can work Monday through Friday, but then we'd have to go away a lot of weekends on Saturday and Sunday. And it didn't feel to me as if it was work. So that's where I really want people to get to, Michael. And that's why the happy money, the happy family, the happy legacy is such an important work for me. Because if you're using your time wisely and you really like what you're doing, you're going to be able to create a lot more happy money.
Yes.
Money that's positive, money where you want to go to work. And if you're out there and you're struggling, well, I don't know what to do for my job, or I'm not sure what I want to do, focus on where you think you'd like to spend those 40 to 50 hours a week. Mm-hmm. I know early on it's hard, because for me, I was lucky early on. I started at the restaurant at a young age with grandpa and grandma and my brother. And I really liked it for a lot of years. And then it got to a point where I didn't like it. And then I had to do a lot of soul searching and say, well, where do I want to spend the rest of my time? And it was a couple of years where working at the restaurant, doing the real estate, spending time. And at certain times you have to spend 50, 60, 70 hours a week to get to where you want to go.
Exactly.
So it's important. I think you need to reflect upon that.
I had a professor, this was 2 or 3 years ago in school now. He was a higher up in one of the bigger companies in the world. I'm trying to remember which one it was. But he had his entire workforce. He would let them go early a lot of times because he's like, we got our work done. We're basically done now. And people would complain from a different department about him. And he's like, why are you letting all your employees go? And he goes, you know, they listen to me. They respect me. And when I need them to come out here at 3 in the morning, they're willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I let them go at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 1 o'clock. They want a day off, fine. But they respect me enough to where if I need you to come out at a random time, you're willing to do that. And so to me, that also speaks, you know, what kind of culture, what kind of environment am I looking for in a job, right? Because like you said, it's 40, 50 hours a week of your life being, I don't want to say taken away, but it's being used in a way that you might not want to have it. And so if that's the case, how can I make the best of that situation?
That's interesting. You bring up a great point. And for you and for anybody listening, if and when they're getting into business, what your professor did really well was he created KPIs. Or if you want to track people, you should have some key performance indicators where if I know that you need to do this number, you need to have 20 sales calls. Well, if you've hit your 20 sales calls for the day and you've gotten, you know, 2 leads, or you've gotten 2 sales, and that's what you're supposed to do for the day, your professor had enough emotional intelligence to say, hey, I'll let these guys go because they've done their work for the day instead of continuing to grind and grind and grind. So if company lays out key performance indicators and make them the SMART goals, make them specific, make them measurable, make them achievable. Mm-hmm. And if they have, and you had mentioned the word culture, it's also very interesting. Companies that do really well nowadays are mission driven. Take, for instance, Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
every time mom drives by Chick-fil-A, she's like, oh, there's a line. There's two cars full of people there. And I'm like, why are they different than most of the fast foods? Is because they are mission driven. And they have created that kind of culture, and people want to work for a company like that. So when you're talking about time, let's like bring this into the time aspect of it. Time is money. Wouldn't you rather work at a place like Chick-fil-A where, let's say, they align with your values, they align with the people that you want to be around, they align with the whole workforce where it's a lot of fun to work at, you're learning new skills. Isn't that a great way to use your time? I'll give you a quick example. Your sister, Sophia, she's taking a job, and I told her to take this job because she loves the company. She loves working there. Mm-hmm. And now, is she getting top dollar? She's doing really well, but she may not get as much as if she did a massage. She's making less, but the time that she's using, she's going to be learning new skills. She's going to be around a great environment. She's going to be with great people. It's a mission-driven place. She likes to work there. So that's how I think you start assessing opportunities, is does it align with you? And I think that's a really good use of her time.
Yeah. And not only that, her burnout rate, if that's the right term, whatever that measure is going to be a lot less. She's going to be able to go back there consistently and not feel like it's just another grind. She's going to enjoy it, and she's going to spend more time there as well, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you think are some ways that we can use our time wisely outside of work for that kind of recharge?
That's a great question. What I like for everybody to do, as I'm reflecting on this, when I felt as if I was overwhelmed, as if I didn't have a lot of time, I did a time blocking sheet. I took out the 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. And for 2 weeks, I tracked my time. And this is when I was at the restaurant and we had four kids and I was doing real estate. And I was amazed at the amount of time I had left over that I was wasting. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're sleeping from 12 to 6 or whatever that time is. Yeah. But when you get up in the morning, I want you and anybody listening to document every part of your day. And back then, there wasn't social media. So I wasn't able to be on YouTube. There wasn't really Netflix going on. But still, I had TV. There's still ways for me to waste time. And Mike, at the end of 2 weeks, I was shocked at how much time I wasted, even by being as efficient as possible and having the job and having all the kids and trying to do the real estate all at once. What I would say is get a time blocking sheet out and track the next 2 weeks. Every single time you're doing something, whether you're at work, whether you're driving somewhere, whether mm-hmm. you're going to work out, whether you're scrolling on social media, whether you're checking emails, you'll be able to see how you're using time. It's very similar to as if you're trying to lose weight. If you're trying to lose weight, you're going to document everything you eat throughout the day. And at the end of the day, you're going to say to yourself, man, I'm horrified. I can't believe I had all that. It didn't seem as if I had a lot. That's what time blocking allows you to do. It allows you to see in real time. You have to be honest with yourself. Wow, I spent 3 hours today on social media, or I spent an hour just streaming stuff.
Yeah.
Or I spent 45 minutes listening to a podcast. Should I have been listening to it? It's all about becoming a conscious and becoming aware of where you're spending your time and how you decide what you want to spend your time on. And we could have a larger conversation. Maybe this should be the next show. It's about your values. It's values-based decision-making. Mm-hmm. Your values should base where you spend your time on. If you're really into personal development, if you're really into health and fitness, well, you should spend a portion of your day working out, meditating, praying. That should be really important. Well, I don't have time. Well, did you spend 45 minutes just, you know, on social media scrolling? Well, maybe that should be the time dedicated to doing that.
Yeah. I think humans are one of the worst things we do is not notice what we're doing in the moment. That makes sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So with that, like you mentioned, social media, spending all this time, kind of the brain rot is the new term for that now. What's the best way to notice in the moment, how do I get off this, or what do I do now instead, if that makes sense to you?
James Clear wrote the book Atomic Habits, mm-hmm. and that's a habit. I think the easiest solution short term is to make it difficult.
Yeah.
So if you have to remove the app from your phone, remove it from your phone. If you have to put it on airplane mode, put it on airplane mode. If you're working at home, leave the phone in another area of the room.
Yeah.
Make it difficult to get on the app and get on and surf or do whatever you're doing. Because if it's easy and it's there, all you do is click it.
Yes, right there.
It's right there. It's so easy. And that's what they've done. And they've made it endless. So like you said, becoming aware, everyone needs to understand that they have to be serious about it. Like, mm-hmm. you have to really see yourself. And the only way you do is with that time blocking sheet. You're literally seeing, wow, from 10 to 10:30, I was on Instagram. Yeah. From 3 to 5, I was watching YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. Once you see that, it's like, wow, what do I do? And I think for me, looking at that and saying, I just wasted 3 hours today, that just doesn't feel good. Yeah. That doesn't align with the person that I want to be. My values are hard work, responsibility, dedication, growth mindset. None of that is a result of wasting all of that time. Mm-hmm. So understanding that, and like what Phil said, time is not your biggest asset if you're wasting it doing all those things.
Yeah. I remember reading a study to add on to what you said. This guy was trying to learn how to play his guitar better, and he would always get distracted because his video game console was right there.
Oh.
And so he decided, I'm going to take my batteries out of my controller. And I'm going to put one on this side of the house and put the other one on this side of the house. And he's going to put his guitar on a stand right next to his console. And whenever he got to his console, he's like, well, I have to do it. It wasn't much work, but I have to spend 2 minutes trying to search for the batteries, put them in the controller, put the cover on, and then I can play. And he's like, that's too much work. I'm just going to play my guitar. It's right here instead.
It's like, simple really? Things.
It
yes.
really is. We're so stupid when it comes to that. You know what I mean? It's like,
yes, I do. Michael, I think the other thing that we have to remember is we need to be a little bit more compassionate with ourselves.
Oh, I agree.
I think I agree. That guy and myself, we like to beat ourselves up. Damn it. I just spent another 3 hours today on social media. Yeah. Be a little bit more compassionate with yourself. It does take time. It takes work, and it's not going to happen overnight. Just take it easy. Take it slow. Take it one step at a time. Maybe if you're doing 3 hours a day, try the first week to cut out 30 minutes mm-hmm. and do only 2.5. Because if you go cold turkey, it's going to be really, really difficult.
Yeah.
Just take baby steps.
Baby steps.
And understand that try to, you know, take that, whatever you're doing, and try to replace it with something else that you like. Like you said, whether it's a hobby, mm-hmm. whether it's going to singing lessons, whether it's going out for a walk, whether it's working out, whatever it is, that activity needs to replace with something that you like to do, something that's productive, something where you know spending your time is really important, where you want to spend it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's really good. So with that, you mentioned take baby steps. Along with that, we should keep a catalog as to how our life changes over time. So how does my life differ from 3 hours compared to an hour and a half of social media? Is there anything different? Am I more at peace with myself? Am I less angry? Am I actually breaking my bad habits along with that? Because I think that when we spend so much time in these devices, I'm going to target the devices because they're all horrible and they destroy our lives and whatnot. How does my life change overall? Right. Because I find when I prioritize things that are not my devices or whatever, my entire life changes. Like I said, I'm less angry. I'm more compassionate. I'm more willing to get things done, if that makes sense.
It's interesting. The devices aren't the issue, though. They're not evil. It's
no,
the way we use
it's the
devices.
Way we use them. It's the way, yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't want a blanket statement and say devices are terrible. They make us a lot more efficient.
They do.
They actually save you time.
Yeah.
I mean, let me tell you, I can't find my way out of a paper bag. If I didn't have GPS, I'd get lost every time. I don't have to go to the bank to deposit a check. That saved me 30 minutes a day. I can order food and have it delivered to my house through my phone. So there's so many amazing ways that you can use technology to be able to become more efficient. That's important. You had a quote. Did you have a quote that you wanted to share?
I did. It's a little bit morbid, but I think it's well needed today.
Morbid.
Well, just get ready for it. Do now what you'll wish you had done when your moment comes to die.
Do now. And how do you know what to do now? Like, let's say people don't know what to do now. What mm-hmm. how will they find out what they should be doing now?
I would say a lot of the time it's right in front of you. A lot of the times it's in the back of our mind and we don't want to actually bring it to the center part of our mind and focus on it. I mm-hmm. think there's a little bit of fear. There's a little bit of lack of confidence or courage that stops us from going out and doing literally what's in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Can I share with you what Stephen Covey says?
Go ahead.
Stephen Covey says, start with the end in mind. What do you want your life to look like in a morbid sense when you're at your funeral?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you want people to say about you? What do you want to hear? What would you want to have accomplished?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you want in your life? You're seeing that at your funeral. And obviously for me, it's having a lot of grandkids, having the kids there, you know, having built an amazing company, having helped thousands of families. Really, we want to change the world one family at a time. And if we can help change the world and help thousands of families, that would be really cool. Now, when you go and you have that picture in your mind, let's reverse engineer that and bring that back to today. What does that look like today? Mm-hmm. What are you trying to accomplish today? Well, for us, if that was the case, it's doing more podcasts, doing more research, going to more events, speaking to more families. Those are the things that you need to be doing today. And I think it's important that you need to get clarity on what it is that you're trying to accomplish. You can start this off as a side hustle. This doesn't have to be your main job. I think most people get overwhelmed by saying, well, I don't have the time to do this. Well, you can start in small increments. And then from there, as you start getting more popular, or as you start making more money, you can ultimately, let's say, leave your job if you like. But I think you need to start with the end in mind, understand what you want your life to look like, and then let's reverse engineer that and start that from today to become more efficient with using your time.
Exactly. And it's the little things too, right? We start with the little things, because if we start with the little things, then we work our way up. Mm-hmm. We can't tackle the big things at first because it doesn't work. Because we haven't actually started with, you know, the 5% stuff.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
So what are you doing today? How are you spending your time?
I am spending my time today. I've got my business partner coming in town. We've got to do some firearms transfers to Papa G right here. Bought him a couple suppressors for my business. So that'll take about 3 hours with lunch included.
All right. So lunch is like an hour and a half and
pretty much. That's okay. We spent 20 minutes talking about nonsense. I love it. It's great.
But listen, that we joke about that. But that's important.
Oh, it is.
Right?
Yeah.
Spending time and having fun and connecting and having family around. And that, those are things that we just, you know, we don't even think about
sometimes, right?
Yeah, yes, but exactly. That's where you should be focusing on spending part of your time.
Yeah.
You know, so Monday's done. So for me, spending time today, doing another podcast, I've got a weekly lesson today. I've got another podcast this afternoon, and I've got a massage tonight. So have to reward yourself.
Oh, you do.
Right, brother? Yeah. This has been fun. I think for me, time is money. But I think ultimately, like you've been saying, and like I've been saying, you need to understand how to spend time the right way for you or for anybody listening to this. What is it that they want to spend time on consciously?
I agree.
Any final words for you?
Any final words? Only thing I was going to say is it pays to have family in the firearms business, so Papa G here can have his guns ready to go at a better price.
At a better price, and you can shoot them with me, right?
Thanks, Trey.
I love this. Listen, this is a lot of fun today. We want to thank you for spending part of your time with us today. We've gone over how important it is. And our mission at Barbaro 360 is changing the world one family at a time. Go check us out at barbaro360.com. Thanks, everyone.